actor. She made men sizzle. To this day, my 70-something-year-old mother can walk the aisles of Publix supermarket in Aventura, Florida, and get men to ask her for her phone number. But back to the story. Before I came along, my mom in her early 20s was dying to get married. She hated college and refused to wait for her boyfriend to graduate from the University of Pennsylvania. She left college to concentrate on finding her husband, and that's precisely what she did. Her mother, my grandmother, introduced her to her first husband, Ira. My grandmother had been married to one man all of her life, the most wonderful man in the world, according to everyone. My grandmother was on a mission to find the same thing for her daughter. Both my mother and my grandmother were the fix-up queens in the neighborhood. They'd often see a single girl pining away for true love, and before you could say engagement, they would introduce her to her future husband. They never did it for money. It was enough to hear the local rabbi say, "Good job," or perhaps to get a chicken or two in exchange for the mitzvah. The day my mother met her first husband, she already knew how to get her man. He was a tall, handsome, Richard Gere lookalike from Brooklyn. He had just moved to New Jersey and didn't know a soul there. He needed to get connected to the community, and my family was connected, big time. He saw my mother as a way to get what he needed. The minute he told my mother, "You'll never have to work when you're with me, kid," they were under the chuppah. They quickly slipped into a suburban lifestyle and tried to get my mother pregnant. After trying every option available to them to no avail, they decided on adoption. Ira would go out drinking with the boys, but when I came along, my mother demanded that he stop carousing. He refused. One night, she found out that he wasn't just drinking with the boys, he was sleeping with the other chickadees in town. Divorce was not common at the time, but my mother kicked him to the curb and went off to find her next husband. Phil Stanger was your classic Armento. 40 years old, 5'7", smoked a cigar, wore custom-made shirts and suits with his initials on the sleeve, smelled of expensive aftershave, wore a gold pinky ring, and had a strong Napoleon complex. He had taken care of his family since he was 6 years old by working at sweatshops in Brooklyn and was a bachelor who had never been married. But he wanted my mother bad. She met him while on a terrible blind date on a cruise around New York Harbor. When she decided to go to the bathroom, Phil was standing at the bathroom door, probably trying to pick up women. He noticed her and said, "I'm going to marry you." My mother was appalled. "I mean, come on. Can't you come up with a better line than that?" she asked him. And so they bantered about it. He was serious. He simply knew from the moment he saw her that she was his dream girl. It was a classic case, I would learn later, of a man seeing the prototype of everything on his wish list coming together right before his eyes. Within 3 months, this flashy bachelor had swept my mother off her feet, promised her a lavish lifestyle, and said he wanted to adopt me. The rumor goes he went to pay $10,000 for me to my first adoptive father, Mom's ex, Ira. We moved to a trendy part of New York, which seemed perfect because my mother had a passion for fashion like no other, and my dad was in the garment trade. But after 10 years, my mom grew homesick for Jersey, and we moved to the most elite suburb on the eastern seaboard, Short Hills. Think the Beverly Hills of the East Coast. From the moment I stepped off the bus, I knew I was in the wrong place. I was dressed in true fashionista style with my Fred Braun platform shoes and my bell-bottom jeans, only to find the staples of everyone's wardrobe were Oxford cloth shirts from Ralph Lauren, corduroy jeans, and Puma sneakers. Everyone was blonde, and to make matters worse, so were my mother and my sister, who was also adopted. I clearly was the share in a sea of Christie Brinkley's. Short Hills was Stepford on steroids. All the husbands took the train to New York while their wives spent their days at the beauty salons and country clubs. I loathed every single minute of it and was dying to get out. I simply refused to become a lady who lunched. My dream was to become Sherry Lansing, who was one of the top women in the film industry and the president of Paramount Pictures at the time. I lost myself in films on a daily basis. I was thinking fast, and apparently so was my new dad. At first he was making tons of money, but then financial trouble set in. No longer being able to keep up with the Joneses, we were ostracized by local society and my parents lost a lot of friends. My dad was obsessed with what people thought. He was the operations manager of his business.